Okay, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 23. And in this chapter, we have 25 verses. And in this chapter, there's a lot of things that are taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of the Lord living in us. One of them, if there is a problem with the man's genitals, in other words, his stones are crushed or he's missing his sexual organ, what happens is that they weren't allowed in the congregation in the Old Testament. And that's primarily because they're not able to reproduce and bring forth children. But those of us that are called by the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, we are able to bring forth more children by sowing the seed of the word of the Lord into people's hearts, and they are able to become, even if they were born and they don't know who their father was, they are fatherless children, which means the technical word for that is, and a word that a lot of people use as profanity, is bastards. But even they, when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they are accepted into the congregation because God automatically becomes your father when you accept his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's everyone go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service so that all the scriptures, when it's read by the word and explained by the word, it killeth. But when there's an anointing on God's word, and he gives the commentary on it through his people, then the scriptures make tremendous sense. But it just seems like a very killing type thing if it is not given in the spirit. And so when reading this chapter, a lot of people would wonder, and I thank God that he gives me the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on how to define, to rightly divide the word here, and show you the difference of how wonderful it is that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and made us acceptable into the congregation, into the fold. Doesn't make any difference who we are or what we've done. If we accept Jesus into our hearts and if we continue on in listening to what he says, and he tells us to obey those that have the rule over us, and he tells us to obey your husband, and if you don't, well then of course there's a curse on you. And he tells us that we have to, no matter how bad we feel about ourselves, maybe we don't know who our fathers are, or our mothers were never married, and we've been told that we're bastards, or if some impediment is with us, that we don't feel like we're a whole human being, maybe we're missing arms, legs, or some other body parts. We all become one in Christ Jesus, and in him, in the kingdom of heaven, we are made every whit whole. There's nothing but perfection in heaven. And so that's the most important thing, is to get saved so that you're accepted into the kingdom of God. And there's only one way that we can do that, and that is to accept the only one that is able to show us the way and is the way into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come into the kingdom of heaven but by through me and my words, the instructions that I've given you to do that. So, Father God, we all ask you to anoint this service, to anoint your word, because we want it to have life in it so that it doesn't kill. And Lord, give me the commentary. Make it so strong, Lord, that it gives everyone the power in your spirit, in your power to live another day in you, Lord, in the spirit of life, in the spirit of eternal life. Lord, your word tells us that we don't receive eternal life just when we enter heaven. We have to receive it here. If we're saved, we have eternal life now. And we thank you for that, Father. We ask that you anoint the service and anoint every commentary and your words in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's go. Chapter 23, verse 1, Deuteronomy.
And the header is Regulations Concerning Worship, King James Version, verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord.
Okay, let's do the commentary on that right now.
If a man's testicles are crushed or his penis is cut off, he may not be included in the assembly of the Lord.
Okay, so anyone that has a problem like that, the Lord has come into the world now and you're completely acceptable if you accept him. Then what?
King James Version, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord.
And now, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have God for a father, because you're begotten of the Spirit. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, and the Bible plainly states that the flesh profits nothing. So this is a spiritual kingdom, and we enter into the spiritual kingdom through this Holy Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is that if you have been you don't know who your father is, and your parents were not married, if you accept Christ as your personal Savior, God's only begotten Son, and he enters you by his Spirit into your spirit, then you're no longer and fatherless child. You have God for your father, and that's the most important thing in the whole world. Okay, next.
Verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever.
No, but it doesn't make any difference what nationality you are, because Christ is coming into the world. No matter what color you are, we all become one in Christ Jesus, and everyone is welcome if they just will come unto the Lord and let him enter you and wash you, cleanse you with the blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary to take away all your former sins. And if you'll go with him from the now until the time that you give up the ghost until the end, then you sin no more, then you are saved. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, because you're a new nationality. It's a new nation, a spiritual nation, a holy priesthood. Okay, then what?
Verse 4. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse thee. Verse 5. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee.
Right. In those days, I mean, these particular people that sinned, and they were not ever going to repent, they were not welcome into the church, and as a matter of fact, the Lord killed them. Okay, then go ahead and read the commentary.
Verse 2 through 5. Those of illegitimate birth and their descendants for 10 generations may not be included in the assembly of the Lord. Verse 3. No Ammonites or Moabites or any other descendants for 10 generations may be included in the assembly of the Lord. Verse 4. These nations did not welcome you with food and water when you came out of Egypt. Instead, they tried to hire Balaam, son of Beor, for Pethor, in Aram Naharaim, to curse you. Verse 5. But the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. He turned the intended curse into a blessing, because the Lord your God loves you. King James Version, verse 6. Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all thy days forever. Verse 7. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. Verse 8. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. Verse 9. When the host goeth forth against thine enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. Verse 10. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, he shall not come within the camp. Verse 11. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Verse 12, thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. Verse 13, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back, and cover that which cometh from thee.
That's, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to go out to the side of the camp and dig a hole and go to the bathroom back then, and they didn't have toilets, out in the wilderness, and then cover it up, okay, to relieve yourself, right? You're not to go to the bathroom inside the actual camp. You have to go outside the camp. Then what?
Verse 14, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Verse 15, thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. Verse 16, he shall dwell with thee even among you in that place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Translation, verse 6 through 16. You must never, as long as you live, try to help the Ammonites or the Moabites in any way. Verse 7.
In other words, if it's the devil, you're not to give any place to the devil. All right? Brothers and sisters, you cannot be talking down to them. You're not to challenge a pastor if a pastor is telling you, look, you have to keep the commandments of the Lord. You have to. I'm telling you the right thing. You're disturbing the congregation. You're disturbing the house. I don't want you to yell and scream. I don't want you to say and just be quiet. I want a quiet house. And you have to be quiet. If you don't, well, then, of course, you have to. You're not obeying the Lord. The Lord says to obey those that have the rule over you and obey your husband in the Lord. All right? If you don't think they're of the Lord, you shouldn't be in the house. All right, then what else? And look at it. The pastor is ruling well in the word of the Lord. Then that is a pastor that is of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And he that winneth souls is wise. And if you're not a soul, he that winneth the most souls is the wisest. And he that wins no souls, such as some of the people that like to cause commotions in the church and in the house, they're not wise at all, because they don't listen to the Lord, and they keep trying to challenge somebody that is divinely called by the Lord, and it's not going to do you any good. And if the person is really of the Lord, he's not going to be able, or she's not going to be able to stand it around you. So if that makes sense, if that doesn't make sense to you, then you must have a mind that listens to demonic seducing spirits. You're commanded to listen to the Lord, and him only shall you listen to and serve. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
Verse 7, do not detest the Edomites or the Egyptians, because the Edomites are your relatives, and you lived as foreigners among the Egyptians. Verse 8, the third generation of Egyptians who came with you from Egypt may enter the assembly of the Lord. Miscellaneous Regulations, verse 9. When you go to war against your enemies, stay away from everything impure, bracket, in other words, don't sin, end bracket. Verse 10. Any man who becomes ceremonially defiled because of a nocturnal emission must leave the camp and stay away all day.
In other words, if during the night he's ejaculated, that he's unclean. Okay, then what else?
Verse 11. Toward evening he must bathe himself, and at sunset he may return to the camp. Verse 12. Mark off an area outside the camp for a latrine, a toilet. Verse 13. Each of you must have a spade as a part of your equipment. Whenever you relieve yourself, you must dig a hole with the spade and cover the excrement. Verse 14. The camp must be holy, for the Lord your God moves around in your camp to protect you and to defeat your enemies. He must not see any shameful thing among you, or he might turn away from you. Verse 15. If slaves should escape from their masters and take refuge with you, do not force them to return. Verse 16. Let them live among you in whatever town they choose, and do not oppress them. King James Version, verse 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Verse 18. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Okay, now, dog symbolically here means a homosexual. Okay, let's do the commentary.
Okay. Verse 17 and 18. No Israelite man or woman may ever become a temple prostitute. Verse 18. Do not bring to the house of the Lord your God any offering from the earnings of a prostitute, whether a man or a woman, for both are detestable to the Lord your God.
So I say the male prostitute is, or a homosexual, is a dog. That's what the Hebrew word means, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Relating or symbolically, the symbolic meaning of man that is a homosexual. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 19. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury.
In other words, if a brother or sister wants them, you're not to charge them interest. Okay, go ahead and read that commentary.
Verse 19. Do not charge interest on the loans you make to a fellow Israelite, whether it is money, food, or anything else that may be loaned with interest. King James Version, verse 20. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it.
Okay, to a Gentile you can charge them usury, a percentage on whatever you loan them, but not a Jew and not a Christian. And then what?
Verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Verse 22. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee.
So if you don't vow, that's no sin. But to say, I'm going to do this, Lord, I vowed, and you don't do it, that is sin. So it's better not to vow than to vow and break the vow. Okay, then what else?
Verse 23. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Verse 24. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel.
In the United States, if you go into somebody's vineyard and you're hungry, you go to eat, they're liable to shoot you with a shotgun or a rock salt gun. But in Israel, they can't do that. It's like you're supposed to let them eat from your field or from your trees freely. If they're hungry people, they're poor, they're traveling, they don't have any money. But of course, you're not allowed to take a bushel baskets in there and haul a bunch of it away, okay? And then open up a fruit stand further down the road. Okay, then what?
Verse 25. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn.
Yeah, you can't go out there and start harvesting his crop and open up a vegetable stand down the road. Okay? All right.
Translation, verse 20 through 25. You may charge interest to foreigners, but not to Israelites, so the Lord your God may bless you in everything you do in the land you are about to enter and occupy.
And in the New Testament, it means you can't do that. You can't charge interest to a Christian. And also, when people ask you for something, they're poor and needy, you give it to them. And that way, God will keep you blessed. If he sees you doling out the things that he's given you, well, he'll give you more so that you can give out more to those that are poor and needy. All right?
Yeah.
And you got to take care of the house of your household and the house of the Lord first. And then the poor and needy will always have with us. And when they're there, give them whatever you can. Just so it is, you don't want to, Lord doesn't mean to set them up in business or anything, but if they're hungry, give them a box full of food. They need some clothes, give them some clothing. And if they need some gas money to go someplace, don't give them the money. But go to the gas station with them and put the money in their tank so they can go home. Or if the light bill is not paid and you know that it's for real and they're not on drugs, a lot of people will tell you to, can you please pay our light bill? It's off. We've got children and all that. And you pay their light bill, and then they've got the money that they have that they could have paid the light bill with. They'll go and buy drugs with it. So you got to watch all those things, because the Lord doesn't want you to provide the sinner out there with drug money or money, alcohol or money for gambling or anything like that. He's taking care of their kids. We'll buy food for them ourselves. You don't give them money to go to the market. We just say, how many children have you got? How many people in the house? And then we'll go and buy the food for them and take it to them. And a lot of, they might go ahead and you have to be in the spirit so you know when to do things and when not to. Okay, what else?
Verse 21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in doing whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows. If you don't, you will be guilty of sin. Verse 22, however, it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow. Verse 23, but once you have voluntarily made a vow, be careful to do as you have said, for you have made a vow to the Lord your God.
Now that's pertaining to men. But a female, if you're married and your wife, you hear her making a foolish vow, and you see that she can't keep it, you can disannul that vow for her if she wants you to. Yeah, because the wife is not that responsible. If the husband hears her make that vow and wants to let her off the hook with it, he can. He has that power to do so with the Lord. All right, then what?
Verse 24, you may eat your fill of grapes from your neighbor's vineyard, but do not take any away in a basket.
Verse 20. Be careful doing that in the United States, because they're not Jews. A Jew will never turn you away hungry. Not in Israel. And I never knew any of them that have owned restaurants. If people go in there and tell them I'm hungry, they'll give you something to eat. You tell them I'm hungry, I don't have any money, and I'll be willing to wash dishes. Or if you're incapable of doing something like that, just tell them, I'm hungry and I need something to eat, and they'll feed you. And that's the same way with true Christians. They will feed you. Okay, then what else? So if you're hearing this tape and you're homeless and you're hungry, you can always feel safe. You can always get your belly filled in a true Christian church, true Christian home. And even in a home of a person that hasn't united themselves with God through Christ yet, a Jew. Most Jews remember that they were hungry and their families were hungry in concentration camps, and they will not turn you away hungry. Unless they're just one of the worst Jews that I ever heard of. I've never heard of such a thing. They will feed. And there's a lot of Gentile people that'll do the same thing, but I mean, it's for sure the Jew will not turn you away, and the true Christian won't either. Then what else?
And you may pluck a few heads of your neighbor's grain by hand, but you may not harvest it with a sickle.
Okay. Well, that was the 5th verse of chapter 23, Deuteronomy, the last verse, and now we've got some commentary.
23, verse 7. According to Hebrew tradition, the Edomites were descendants of Esau. Genesis 36, verse 1 through 19. 23, verse 10 through 15. During war, rules of hygiene were to be maintained as a symbol of purity, a prerequisite to God's presence for him to fight for us, Israel or anyone today. 23, verse 17. Women and men of Israel were not to become prostitutes, and they are not to be like heathen cult fertility gods or to follow the doctrine of the supposed-to-be gods, the heathen cult fertility gods. 23, verse 18. A female prostitute is identified as a harlot, and a male prostitute as a dog. Legislation prohibited money obtained by sinful means to be given as a vowed offering to God. 23, verse 17 through 18.
Well, also the dog is a prostitute, usually a male prostitute, is a homosexual. Okay. Then what else?
23, verse 17 through 18. Prostitution is singled out as special condemnation. Within the bonds of marriage is the only valid context for sex. In society today, sexual activity outside of marriage has become an accepted practice, and sexual purity is viewed as something to be embarrassed about. Healthy marriages must be founded on trust, which is based to a significant extent on sexual purity. God's program for healthy relationships demands that sexual activity be kept within marriage. If we have failed in this area, there is nothing more to hope for than for an eternity in hell and in the lake of fire. There are strong consequences. Hell and the lake of fire for failure to keep God's commandments regarding marital purity and sexual purity. 23 verse 21 through 22. Being trustworthy is an absolute necessity for anyone who is in recovery to become mature. All enduring relationships are built on trust. When we make promises, we must keep them, even at great inconvenience to ourselves. Lying is a problem for many people. It breaks down relationships and eventually destroys them. We must realize that telling the truth is always best for us in the long run. The truth is one boundary we can never overstep without severe consequences. 23 verse 1 through 9. These verses deal with admission to the assembly, here referring to Israel as a worshiping community. The Greek equivalent is, quote, ecclesia, unquote, the word used in the New Testament to designate a local congregation of believers. God's exact reasons for the prohibitions are clear. God doesn't have to offer reasons. He just tells us what to do.
All right. If the Lord tells you to go to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army's after you, and he says, put your staff into the water, he doesn't have to give you a reason for it. You just do it. And if you just do what the Lord says, you may think, well, there's no human reasoning behind it because the Lord doesn't reason like humans do. You just blindly do what the Lord says, and you'll see that something wonderful will happen. Amen?
Amen.
And so just always remember that, because the Lord tells me to stand up someplace in a park one time and to tell them that I'm a born of the Spirit Jew, washed in the blood of Jesus. And I couldn't understand why I was doing it, because there really wasn't anybody around, I thought, and people were just kind of lounging around the park. When Susie told me to do it, and I really didn't feel like doing it, but she said the Lord told her to tell me to do it, and so I did. And the whole park just became alive. And, I mean, I never saw so many people. It looked like there was, you know, just people here and there, but like a whole mob. It was like a mob downtown New York came running at us and kept saying to me, "You're not a Jew. You're not a Jew." And all of them, I could see that they were Jews. They had the map of Israel all over their face, and they were shaking their fists at me, and they were saying, Say the name Moses in Hebrew. And my voices was so deep, you know, that their shrilling voices were so loud that they couldn't hear me. I was saying, Moshe, Moshe. And they said, you're not a Jew, you're not a Jew, you know. And I says, I am. And I said, and here's a Jew too. I grabbed my little wife, Susie, and I picked her up and set her in front of me. And she screamed out at him, Makshfag Mashig. That means, shut up, you nuts, you nutcases, you Mashigana. And they says, Makshfag Mashig, she's a Jew. And they all shut up. And she started preaching in this high-pitched voice of hers. And it was like a supernatural, very supernatural event that happened. Didn't make sense for me to say it. But I did it, and there was an immediate revival. It was like a supernatural thing of the Lord that happened right there. And so, you know, you're not supposed to say, well, I don't understand, or I can't understand why you say the things you do or why you do this. I say it because the Lord's telling me to say it. And I have a lot of people saying, well, I just don't understand why you're doing something, or... And this is like when I was a baby Christian when all this happened. But now I'm seasoned in the spiritual realm and I know what to do. And I'm telling somebody that is just I used to call, and I do today, snot-nosed little newcomers, you know, and they don't know from nothing. And they're for sure not walking in the Spirit because they're defying somebody that is definitely walking in the Spirit. And they're just saying, I don't understand. Well, you know, you're not supposed to understand why the Lord says things. You're just supposed to do it. Okay, you don't understand that you're to obey those that have the rule over you? You don't understand that, huh? Well, you're not supposed to understand it. You're just supposed to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Whether you understand it or not, who are you that you have to understand what God says to do? God said, obey those that have the rule over you. Amen?
Amen.
And if you have a wife, your Bible says, obey your husbands. Amen?
Amen.
Wives, obey your husbands. But I just don't understand why you're doing this or why you're doing... It isn't for you to understand. The Bible says you're supposed to obey it. Nutcase. Okay? Well, you're not nice when you call people nutcases. People have been criticizing me that for 40 years, okay? And what you say that I'm not of the Lord because I call you a nutcase for not listening to the Lord, then what do you call yourself? Disobedient or a witch? You want to be called a nutcase or a witch? Because the Lord calls you a witch, amen?
Amen.
And he says, suffer not a witch. I suffer not a witch to live. In other words, he won't give you eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So don't say you don't understand. Just read the scriptures and do what it says, whether you understand it or not. You understand that God is 100% right, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then what do you question him? I don't understand. You know that everything that he says is right, and if you do what he says to do, that you're going to be blessed more than you've ever been blessed in your life. So don't say, I don't understand. Just do it so you can be blessed, all right?
Amen.
Who are you to say, I don't understand? What is there to understand? The Lord says, don't commit adultery or fornication, and obey those that have the rule over you. That's easy to understand, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I don't understand why he tells me to do that. Well, do you think you're somebody special that you don't have to do what the Lord says? If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven and stay out of the pit of hell in the lake of fire, don't try to understand it, just do it. It's just like the song goes, you know, when they singing that song, don't try to understand them, these cows. Just rope and tie and brand them. Amen? Well, the cow might complain, I don't understand why you're branding me on my right hip. Well, don't even pay any attention. Just brand them. Why? Because they belong to you, okay? And if you belong to the Lord, then you better just do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
How's about that? So think about that. Meditate on it and all these things. And so that you can stay alive supernaturally, spiritually, eternally, another day. Eternal life, you have that now. If you're saved, you have eternal life right now. You don't have to wait until you get into the kingdom of heaven. You have eternal life now, so keep it. Guard it. Understand that the way to guard it is just to do what the Lord says. But I just don't understand. You don't understand that you have to be obedient? Come on now. Don't be defiant against the Lord. Do what he says. Think about that. Meditate on it all day long and do it for another day so that you can stand another day, one day at a time, in the Spirit of the Lord God, in Christ Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord bless you, and I know he is if you're doing that. Amen. Praise the Lord.